from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that post game was nothing compared to Sunday's. In fact, I texted my friend City Limits and said Zangrilli is in fuego here on the post game, and he had already texted me by the time I got to him. Dan Zangrilli joining me in studio here. Of course, we have Pony's Aiyuk news that the trade is all but done. That's according to Pony. We'll see how it evolves the rest of the day. We believe him. We trust him. But in the meantime, let's talk a little baseball. Dan, how are you?
I'm well. And you, Joe? It's great to be with you. I love your red polo shirt.
Thank you.
It looks snazzy, matching your red hat.
My Buffalo Bills cap. Yes, let's play for Dan in case he forgot. Just a little snippet from that epic post game.
Oh, boy.
Right on left, and it should have been left on left. And there was an acquisition made for a guy that, yes, had thrown three of the last 4 days. And there was also a $10.5 million man in the bullpen that should have thrown that pitch, and it should not have been Colin Holderman. The Pirates lost a game because Derek Shelton mismanaged, a 6-5 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's as plainly as it can be put. The biggest game of the year, the biggest season of the year, managerial malfeasance occurred at 115 Federal Street.
The biggest season of the year? That makes no sense. I mean, that's a eucharism almost.
You choose
almost.
The one where he pulls out a Bob eucharism there?
the season of the year?
I mean, you were just in fuego.
Yeah. I mean, I was seeing red, as I am now.
A lot of people are. I mean, two games later, but that game, there were just some highly, highly dubious decisions by the manager.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I've received... From Derek Shelton, you did a great job trying to extrapolate as much information as you could the other day. I'm still almost more confused than I am clear on, especially how he navigated that seventh inning.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense.
So here's I laid this out on the postgame show. I was okay with Colin Holderman coming in to face 8-9. And maybe even one.
Yeah.
Thinking that, all right, you have a 2-run lead. Holderman is going to be very important to this season. So you do have to get him right somehow, some way. And with the 2-run lead, you get 8-9 in the batting order. And guess what? You might be able to, by hook or crook, have 2 outs, nobody on base. Then you feel comfortable maybe with him facing Corbin Carroll, the leadoff hitter, as the lineup flips over. But first batter out of the hand, you knew it was going to be one of those days because he just was not hitting spots. He walks Perdomo to lead off. You bring him in, I'm okay with it, to start that seventh inning, but with the shortest of leashes, Joe. And at the first sign of duress, you've got to be very proactive and you've got to bring preferably Chapman or even Beeks into that game. Chapman had thrown 35 pitches combined on back-to-back nights. Still, I think you can go to him, and I don't know if there's something that Chapman has where he just doesn't want to or can't do 3 days in a row, veteran, future Hall of Famer, that sort of thing. Beeks had pitched in three of the last four. I get trying to fake your way through that inning with Holderman to try to get him a zero, get some confidence back up, but that wasn't reality. That's not reality for the Pirates and Holderman at this point. So, yeah. And then the fact that he tells on himself by bringing Beeks into the game anyway, yeesh, just... That's tough. And I was really disappointed when Shelton got to the point where on your show, he sort of kind of admitted that he could do it over again, almost as he did the show after he pulled Jared Jones after the New York Mets outing, 59 pitches, 50 strikes. He didn't just come out and say, you know what, palms in the air, that's on me. I screwed it up. I wear it squarely. He sort of kind of did. What did he say? I'll review it, I think was the...
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just that. It was, wait, you had Chapman available too. So what about the ninth inning where, who did he bring in the ninth again?
He brings in Woodford Reserve.
Who gives up what proves to be the game-losing home run.
Correct.
So he's really, in effect, treating the game, and you really hit on this good in your post-game. He's treating that game like it's a split squad scrimmage, not a quasi playoff game with a day off coming up. And I think you had to do that. And I'm with you. I wish he just would have said, yeah, I screwed up.
Because I don't know. I look at head coaches, managers as essentially stewards of public entities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do owe explanations to your constituency, right?
Yes.
Because of, you know, let's like really step back of what head coaches are. They're playing in publicly funded and taxpayer-built facilities. You are really stewards of this entity. So if we do ask a question, and it's not for our own edification in the media, we're conduits to the ticket buyer. We are conduits to the constituency. Why not provide us and be held to account the same way your state representative is? I know it's not that in practical terms, but I think in matters like this, absolutely you could, just as much as we would love to hear our political leaders say, I was wrong, I screwed up, my thoughts at that time weren't necessarily in line, you know, whatever it is, I think we can all appreciate, I kicked that thing in the can. I really did. We can all appreciate that. You become more of a sympathetic figure, and we too can then say, you know what, to err is human. Right?
Sure. And he has done that in the past.
Has he?
He has come on the show and said, I would do that over.
Yeah,
I don't have the example limits. Can you verify that?
Yeah, he has.
Okay. And I give him credit because especially...
But I wish he had here.
And especially with the handling of Skeens and things of that nature and answers that they don't have all the answers to, they say as much. And yesterday I asked him a question about why the Pirates are so poor coming off of off days. I think it's now 5-13.
Wow.
And he was very palms up. Listen, I don't have the answer. I don't know. And a lot of coaches and a lot of organizations, they're downright arrogant. And they think they have all the answers. And even when they don't, they pretend to. And then they put on this false bravado. So I do give him and the Pirates a ton of credit from that respect.
Yeah.
Especially as it pertains to like the handling of pitchers, the workload. And they say, listen, we're in uncharted territory here. We don't have all the answers. We don't pretend to. I think in so many words, that's exactly what they say. So that's very refreshing to hear. And I'm not sure I got that. It was what, yesterday that he was on the show? Because it was pretty obvious and egregious. And listen, everybody is due some of these mea culpas, mulligans, and I don't know, man. I was somewhat disappointed in the opportunity he was provided, and from what I felt was an opportunity missed. It was almost deflected to more umpire related stuff, which was really disappointing to me.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So I don't know about you, but last night there was just a symbolic feel about it, and I'm starting to feel like
the walls are caving in.
Yeah, the teams in front of them are going to be uncatchable. They're better than the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, the Padres. The Braves are certainly better than the Pirates. Plus, you have a couple other teams. Now you're 4.5 out. Plus, you have the hardest schedule. I'm starting to feel like you were telling us to feel a couple weeks ago. And I hated you for it.
Well, and I mean, I had my reasons. You just kind of step back, look at it objectively, and see how this is going to play out. The law of large numbers is a wonderful, wonderful, almost foolproof thing. You flip a coin 162 times, you know, whether it lands on heads or tails, in your behalf, whether heads is wins and tails is losses, it's a pretty true tell. And you could be 86 games through that coin flipping, and you could be up, but listen, that coin's going to flip over. Law of large numbers is going to prevail. And I've maintained, and I'm going to stay consistent with this, and I'm happy to be wrong and grab a spork and a foon or a fork and a spoon.
Did you mean to say that?
No.
A spork and a foon. That was incredible.
You're gonna clip that, aren't
you,
Austin?
Yeah, we have to. We have to.
Understand.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Okay. You're going to... I'm happy to eat my crow there, if I'm wrong. But I just see a lot of teams, as you just mentioned, as better. Water will find its own level. And this is the 2012 Pirates that are going to make some progress. That, again, I was looking at maybe where they were this time last year. You know, 5, 6, 7 games under 500 going into last night's game. They're a game over. If they get to their 81, maybe 82nd victory, we look at that as a 6-game improvement. And I think we walk away from the 2024 season satisfied. That's probably where they're going to be, right? If we're to look at in our crystal balls and see what this upcoming road trip is going to be when they've got the Dodgers and Padres, like, it's a tough road. The schedule is not kind, and it's going to take its toll, I think.
Well, I think the only way now for them to do it is internal improvement. And everybody, including me, wants to rip Bob Nutting all the time, Shelty all the time, Charrington all the time. Can we carve a little place to say some of this is on the players? And I'll start with Key Brian Hayes. Mm. I'll throw in Connor Joe and Triolo. Can they ever give you anything? Holderman, the bullpen, De La Cruz, he looks like he's never played baseball before. But let's start with Key Brian Hayes. I mean, his demise this year at the plate has absolutely killed them.
Sawinski too, and I think I've been fairly consistent with, you know, you do what you're supposed to do, or you even show hints of it with Hayes, Sawinski, and even Henry Davis to a certain extent. The entire dynamic of the season looks differently.
Yes,
and
people just want to jump to, it must be somebody else's fault. The hitting coach, maybe. Shelty, maybe. Nutting, always. But what about the players themselves, Dan?
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. And listen, you lose 6-0 yesterday. You make 3 plays. You do some of the fundamental basic tenets of just catching baseballs.
Yes.
Pirates may, I don't know if they win that game, but it's a much different game, and it's managed differently. If Jiwon Bae stays on his feet, if Jared Triolo is able to make the lunging catch, Rowdy Tellez doesn't have a ball hit off it goes into and out of his glove. That's what happened basically in succession in the fifth inning. So I agree. Players have underperformed. That's what's made this year awfully frustrating. And for them to potentially finish with that 81st or 82nd win, you almost look at it as a really successful season, which I also, by the way, if I just really step back, if they get there, I think it is a successful year. And I know I'm getting accused of being really down on the Pirates and the organization because I've thrown some wet blankets on things, but I'm just trying to be as real as I possibly can be. They're in really good shape, I think. Controllable, talented, cost-effective pitching.
Yeah.
And a lot of depth with Braxton Ashcraft right on the doorstep. Thomas Herrington, Bubba Chandler now graduated to the AAA level. They've got some dudes. They've got some arms. And any organization is founded and built on pitching, and they've done a terrific job there. I think the other elements and pieces, as maybe Charrington has even displayed at the trade deadline with the acquisitions of Kiner Falefa and De La Cruz, which I think, you know, he's going to be a good run producer for this team. They're going to be fairly active in the offseason. I think they're going to relook how they do free agency. I think they'll have an opportunity to maybe make even more meaningful, impactful, cost-effective trades. And not retool this lineup, but I think add and fix some of the offensive deficiencies, and maybe even, as much as they possibly can, even though it's a really volatile thing to do, address bullpen as well.
I hate to throw cold water on anything. I'm just being absolutely realistic.
I like that.
Thank you.
Dan, may I finish here with a bunch of fast questions that you give me one-word answers to, or two words, something like that?
By all means.
O'Neill Cruz playing tonight?
Maybe. He's sick. That's what we heard. I'm not sure he was at the ballpark last night. Perhaps we can get some clarity on that at 3:30 this afternoon.
Next year's rotation, what will it be in your humble opinion?
So you've got Skeens, Keller, Jones, a free agent, Bailey Falter, and maybe Thomas Harrington.
What about Bubba Chandler?
I'm late graduation to AAA. I think they'll slow play, but at some point, if you're going to say opening day 2025, I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Here, I want you to say what you would do and then what you think they will do. Endy Rodriguez's position for next year.
He'll start at catcher unless Joey Bart really sells them. He's been a nice find addition, a nice surprise, but I think Endy Rodriguez, while he has the ability to play first base, probably will in the minor leagues, maybe eventually does move there full-time, and maybe he splits time there, I think he'll be the opening day catcher.
Henry Davis's position.
I wonder if, and depending on if he gets a second look this year, and I know I'm giving you far more than one word here.
That's okay. The questions really haven't lent themselves to that, and I take full responsibility for that.
Thank you. Point of thumb, not a finger. Well done. I think that they'll give him a second look at some point this year. And if some of the things that, and he's hitting well in AAA, if they translate, then I think he has an opportunity to remain. If not, I think they probably look at moving him in the offseason.
They're out of it by any reasonable projection or observation in the beginning of September. Does Skeens pitch in September?
Probably.
Okay. O'Neill Cruz's future position. What would you do? What do you think they'll do?
In 2025, he's the shortstop. He should be the shortstop. Does his career end at shortstop? Probably not. I think there's an opportunity for him to grow, develop, and get better at shortstop. Now, he's also probably going to get bigger. So the ankles are skinny. The footwork is still relatively good. And I think that they're going to try to run this out because there's extreme value to have that sort of bat at that shortstop position, which I don't think that you want to diminish a player's value when doing that. I think, especially with the personality dynamic of O'Neill Cruz, you can really deflate them and take away. Listen, if somebody puts you in a position in your job that makes you less valuable, it's going to have an impact that's not positive.
Thank you, Dan. You've become one of the most wonderful men who's ever lived. Do you agree with that, Limits?
That's high praise.
You know, Joe, I do 100% with you. I agree with every syllable and half syllable that you just uttered.
Grab a spork and a foon.
That was incredible. Thank you, Dan.
Great stuff,
as always. We'll be listening post-game.
I love you.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
All right. Dan Zangrilli, you can hear all about it, as they say, later tonight. Meantime, Brandon Ayuk. We had Pony walk down the hallway here. He's saying this is a done deal. Dot the I's, cross the T's. There's only I's in Ayuk, no T's. And this is done. Have we seen any corroboration here? Limitless wonder. Are you starting to get concerned or no?
Maybe just slightly, but not too much, no.
I'm riding with Pony here. I'm riding with Pony, but I would be lying to you if I said there wasn't a tiny bit of concern.
I think a tiny bit of concern is probably the best way to put it. Like, the fact that an Adam Schefter Rappaport hasn't put it out yet, not saying that they won't.
A guy named Ryan Dick tweets in, no change, this comes through. No chance, I think he means. No chance this comes through now that Pony is saying it's done.
You think that's Dr. Dick's son that's tweeting in the Pony?
I don't know. This is incredible. The responses here are gold. I'm riding with Pony, and we'll see what happens here as the hour evolves. He'll be on at 2 o'clock with Malzi and Donnie Football. We'll be keeping an eye on it. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we're going to talk to Brian Batko, who covers the Steelers, to finish off the show here. We'll ask him a potential Ayuk acquisition, what effect that would have on Pickens, assuming Pickens isn't going the other way. And that would be really weird. We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. We have a source off here.
Oh, source off.
Oh, my God. Jordan Schultz is sourcing off with Pony. Pony reporting the deal is all but done, that Ayuk is coming to Pittsburgh. And what does Jordan Schultz say?
Here's the full tweet from Jordan Schultz. Sources. There is still no... Easy for me to say. Sources. There is still no deal between the 49ers and Steelers on a trade that would send wide receiver Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh, per multiple sources. The two sides have spoken. They continue to speak, and the situation remains fluid. Schultz says, as of this post, there is no agreement on all sides.
All right. Well, Pony said it wasn't done either. That they still had to dot the I's, so to speak.
Correct.
But it's still somewhat of a source off, is it not?
What Pony said is the trade is in place. I think it's just a matter of getting the very final details worked out. It's a verbal agreement. He's coming here. It's a done deal. So there's the final details, which is probably like, I don't know, maybe a difference between a third and a fourth round draft pick.
Well, I don't know.
Something like that, or a medical.
I don't know. Assuming that's why I'm always leaving it out here, that it's not the case. I have to, based on my own experience. Brian Batko of the Post Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What do you make of this source off? What do you make of this whole situation, Dr. Batko?
Well, Joe, both Pony and Jordan Schultz are very nice men. It's like a family fight. I don't want to get in the middle of it. I don't have any reason to doubt either of their reporting, and I think at this point I'm past 50-50 on thinking Ayuk is going to make it here. But with as many twists and turns as this soap opera has had in the last, 48 hours, I feel like we should all just be a little bit patient in terms of a hard and fast confirmation on anything.
If they don't have to give up a first rounder, is this a deal that you would do?
Probably, but I'm still skeptical of the extension that the Steelers would give Ayuk. I mean, I think he's a good player, but I don't know that I think he's a top 10 receiver in the league, and I mean, probably top 15, but man, I've just never been one to think just because the Joneses are throwing money around the one position or in one offseason that you need to do the same thing.
If he did come here, what would it mean for Pickens?
I think there might maybe have to be some ego massaging done by Mike Tomlin, but I mean, he's been in that position before. I imagine there were a lot of headaches over the last couple of years with George Pickens and Deontay Johnson coexisting. Not saying they didn't get along with each other, but I think it probably created some tension and turmoil just internally with targets and who's open, who should be getting thrown to, who's producing. And then when you add in the financial layer of this, that would be another dynamic. You know, it's one thing for guys to fight over who's the alpha in the room or the perceived number one. But when one guy's salary is saying something close to $30 million a year and the other guy's on his rookie deal, I mean, that can get thorny too, I imagine.
Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 82 today with cloudy skies. All right. There's a lot of national media noise about Justin Fields and the impression he has made. What do you make of this? If not Fields replacing Russell Wilson before the season, has he at least put it in their minds through this sort of unexpected audition that he's getting all summer that they may want to go to him earlier than they would have to replace a struggling Russell during the season? Like, what kind of impression, what importance is this?
I think the way you put it in your mailbag was good, Joe. I mean, I feel like the leash is getting shorter by virtue of what Justin Fields has been able to do. I happen to think he's making a very good impression on coaches, on teammates, on us in the media who are watching him every day. And I think a lot of us, I mean, it sort of got a little silly with the aggregation and, you know, stuff attributed to people, reporters, about how he looked in the spring, inaccurate, overwhelmed, that kind of thing. I haven't seen that at all in camp. He looks really sharp. He's more decisive, it seems, by the day, just about. And, yeah, I mean, this is trending in a good direction, I think, for Fields. And I'll tell you this today, Joe, while not keeping an eye on Ayuk watch and just paying attention to practice, I don't know if it's a factor of Russ's calf issue still and working him back slowly, ramping him up little by little. But today looked like what an actual NFL quarterback competition would look like. I know you always ask that when you get into it, like how do you even go through that this time of year with only so many practices? But it was kind of Russ for two reps, Fields for two reps, Russ back in, Fields back in, both working with the starters, both working with the second team. I just think that's interesting and something to keep an eye on as we go forward.
Obviously, that's a giant storyline going into the first preseason game. Give me two or three more in your mind, Brian.
Oh, man. I think the receivers are going to continue to be one if and until this trade happens. I mean, they've looked good to me as well. Russ said today after practice they've been lights out making plays. I would say Tomlin was not as bullish in his praise of them this morning. I mean, he basically just gave the old, yeah, these guys are working really hard. They're really mature, the intangibles. High floor, that kind of thing. But if they make some big plays against different jerseys Friday night, I'll be impressed. And then I think, of course, the other one, I'm going to stick with the offense because I've been saying since the start of camp, Steelers defense in 2024, we're not going to learn much about them this time of year. They don't have much to prove this time of year because of the makeup of that group. But the rookie O-linemen will really get their opportunity to show what they can do at 7 p.m. against the Texans. I think Mason McCormick might be the only one in the starting lineup because Isaac Seumalo is not going to play at left guard. So what does he do in there against the Texans' first-teamers? And how do Troy Fautanu and Zach Frazier acquit themselves? Because I think their arrows are both pointing up lately in practice as well.
left to right, the starting offensive line for this season opener, in your opinion?
All right, I'm going to stick with what I had coming into Latrobe. From left to right, Broderick Jones, Isaac Seumalo, Zach Frazier, James Daniels, Troy Fautanu. I feel less good about it, but I'm still going to stick with it.
Can we do a fast game of free association? Before camp is over, when's the first round of cuts?
Well, there's only one round nowadays, so they keep all 90, actually 91 because of their international player. They'll keep them around until late August.
Can we do something on all 91 players next week?
Yeah, we should. That'd be fun, Joe. Let's do it. Let's get back to our old ways.
All right. We will do that next week. For now, here's a quick free association, even though you hate the name and don't think it applies. Who's going to get more touches this year, Warren or Najee?
Najee.
Everybody thinks Pat Freiermuth is headed for a big season. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
They will have a package for Justin Fields if he's not the starting quarterback, where he touches the ball.
I'm going to say no if he's not the starter.
Cordarrelle Patterson is never going to be seen this season for the Steelers. Yes or no?
Cordarrelle Chisholm-Hall. I'm going to say
no.
Is
that what
they're
calling
him? That's what I just thought of in the moment when you said that and took me down such a dark path. I'll say no. It's a long season, but the early returns, not encouraging here.
Freiermuth gets a new contract.
Do you prefer Lonnie Patterson? Yes, I think he will.
Cam gets a new contract.
I don't think so, but I wouldn't be shocked if either him or Freiermuth go the other way.
Beanie is the starting slot corner.
Yes, beans, all the beans.
You've been impressed with him and you like him, yes or no?
Yes on both fronts, and I think his teammates are too.
Brian, you're a wonderful man. Have a great night.
You are too. Bye, Joe, and bye, Austin Bechtold.
Thank you, Brian.
See you, buddy.
See you, man.
It feels like you two really bonded out at camp yesterday.
We really did. I'm glad he didn't give us the Belfont snorkel.
He's a wonderful man. I'll see you tomorrow. Who knows if Paul will be here.
I won't be here tomorrow.
I won't see you tomorrow.
I'll be going to my wiffle ball trip.
Yeah. Oh, you're going on wiffle ball trip to Vermont.
The Vermont trip's tomorrow.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, man. I'm excited. We're playing at Little Fenway Park, Little Wrigley Field, and Little Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God. When's the first game?
Friday at 8 o'clock. We're playing under the lights. I've always wanted to play a game under the lights.
At 8 at night?
Yeah.
Why are you going tomorrow? Practice?
But we got to drive 10 and a half hours to get there.
All right.
Plus, we're going to stop twice.
We're going to call you for a couple of updates.
That'd be great.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.